anything worse. He'd had a happy childhood here in spite of deprivation. As a kid, he hadn't even realized that his family was poor. That truth hadn't occurred to him until he went away to college and was able to look back on their life in Asherville from a distance. Yet, for a few minutes, he waited in the driveway, overcome by inexplicable dread, unwilling to get out of the car and go inside. He switched off the engine and the headlights. Although the heater hadn't relieved his chill, he immediately grew even colder without the hot air from the vents. The house waited. Maybe he was afraid of facing up to his guilt and coming to terms with his grief. He hadn't been a good son, and now he would never have another opportunity to atone for all the pain that he had caused. Maybe he was frightened by the realization that he would have to live the rest of his life with the burden of what he'd done, with his remorse unexpressed and forgiveness forever beyond reach. No. That was a fearful weight, but it wasn't what scared him. Neither guilt nor grief made his mouth go dry and his heart pound as he stared at the old homestead. Something else. In its wake, the recessional twilight drew in a breeze from the northeast. A row of 20-foot pines stood along the driveway, and their boughs began to stir with the onset of night. At first, Joey's mood seemed extraordinary, a portentous sense that he was on the brink of a supernatural encounter. It was akin to what he had sometimes felt as an altar boy a long time ago, when he'd stood at the priest's side and tried to sense the instant at which the ordinary wine in the chalice became the sacred blood of Christ. After a while, however, he decided that he was being foolish. His anxiety was as irrational as any child's apprehension over an imaginary troll lurking in the darkness under his bed. He got out of the car and went around to the back to retrieve his suitcase. As he unlocked the trunk, he suddenly had the crazy notion that something monstrous was waiting in there for him, and as the lid rose, his heart knocked explosively against his ribs. He actually stepped back in alarm. The trunk contained only his scuffed and scarred suitcase, of course. After taking a deep breath to steady his nerves, he withdrew the single piece of luggage and slammed the trunk lid. He needed a drink to settle his nerves. He always needed a drink. Whiskey was the only solution that he cared to apply to most problems. Sometimes, it even worked. The front steps were sway-backed. The floorboards on the porch hadn't been painted in years, and they creaked and popped noisily under his feet. He wouldn't have been surprised if he had crashed through the rotting wood. The house had deteriorated in the 2 decades since he had last seen it, which surprised him. For the past 12 years, on the first of each month, his brother had sent a generous check to their father, enough to allow the old man either to afford a better house or to renovate this place. What had Dad been doing with the money? The key was under the rubber-backed hemp mat, where he'd been told that he would find it. Though Asherville might give him the heebie-jeebies, it was a town where a spare key could be kept in an obvious place, or a house could even be left unlocked with virtually no risk of burglary. The door opened directly into the living room. He put his bag at the foot of the stairs to the second floor. He switched on the lights. The sofa and the armchair recliner were not the same as those that had been there 20 years ago, but they were so similar as to be indistinguishable from the previous furniture. Nothing else appeared to have been changed at all, except the television, which was big enough to belong to God. The rest of the first floor was occupied by the combined kitchen and dining area. The green formica table with its wide chrome edge band was the one at which they had eaten meals throughout his childhood. The chairs were the same too, although the tie-on cushions had been changed. He had the curious feeling that the house had been untenanted for an age, sealed tomb tight, and that he was the first in centuries to invade its silent spaces. His mother had been dead 16 years, his dad for only a day and a half. But both seem to have been gone since time immemorial.